Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Today, we continue to contemplate on the 7th chapter of Prema Vahini. The Prema Vahini of Sandeha Nivarini. I am tempted to say this because every Vahini of Bhagwan is in fact a stream of His love. When we were discussing how is it that Swami named the first Vahini as Prema Vahini, even though He talked about love and elucidated the principle of love only in the 18th chapter of this volume, after almost half of the book, that is when it occurred to us, everything that Bhagwan does is an act of love. And when He started writing these beautiful treatises of wisdom, how else could He have named these? And especially the first one has to be one which emerged from that surge of love in His heart, and that is how He called it Prema Vahini. And this Prema Vahini continued for so many months and so many years. And I would like to think that the different other Vahinis that emerged after Prema Vahini are just different chapters of the Prema of the Lord. We had 108 sessions discussing the beautiful tenets that Bhagwan has laid down for us in the articles that He called as Prema Vahini. And even as Prema Vahini was being written, Bhagwan started Sandeha Nivarini. Almost as if responding to the queries that were arising in devotees' minds as they were reading these tenets of spiritual wisdom. And that is how Bhagwan wrote these two Vahinis simultaneously. Here, He was becoming a devotee and asking the questions that were going on in the minds of the speakers, seekers and spiritual aspirants. And in Prema Vahini, He was putting down the principles, the fundamentals of spiritual thought, spiritual living and spiritual way of life. So in chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini, where Bhagwan has brought us. The chapter begins with the devotee saying, Bhagwan, I do not have any doubts today, and Swami is so pleased. At the same time, the devotee says, Swami, please give me some principles which are the essence of Your injunctions for mankind. And Bhagwan very simply puts down these facets of spiritual life. In fact, these are in a way simple elucidations of Bhagwan's philosophy in one sentence each. Bhagwan has put down what is it that is spirituality according to Him. So in the previous episode, we heard the second segment of Sandhya Nivarini, and we began our discussion today. We will continue this discussion. We will listen to segment 7.2 again, and I'm really happy to share with you that joining us in the discussion today is someone who has experienced the love of Swami at very close quarters, and more importantly, has been Bhagwan's chosen instrument to share this love, to ensure that this love sprouts in young minds, and also be blessed to see the blossoming of this love. Mr. Satish Babu, who is the current warden of Sri Satya Sai Students Junior Hostel. He has been a teacher since 1992 after his post-graduation in bioscience, and about 4 years ago, Bhagwan blessed him with the opportunity to be the caretaker of his property in the higher secondary school. Really grateful to Swami that he has sent Satish Babu sir, as he's commonly called, to the studios of Radio Sai today. So let's listen to what Bhagwan has written, and then we will pray to Bhagwan to guide this discussion.
For, among all forms of love, man's first endeavor should be to love the Lord the most. 5. Such love towards the divine is bhakti. That is the duty of one's life. 6. Those who seek the bliss of the Atma should not go after the pleasures of the senses. 7. Treat truth as the life breath of man. 8. Just as the body that has no breath is useless and begins to rot and stink within a few minutes, similarly, life without truth is useless and tossed in the turbulence of strife and grief. 9. Believe strongly that there is nothing greater, nothing more precious, nothing sweeter, and nothing more lasting than truth. 10. Truth is the all-protecting God. There is no mightier protector than truth. 11. The Lord, who is the embodiment of truth, manifests to those who are truthful in speech and having a loving heart. 12. The spirit of self-sacrifice is at the heart of all-encompassing compassion towards all beings. 13. You must possess control of the senses, a peaceful demeanor, and a spirit of renunciation. 14. Be always on the alert against the four sins which the tongue is prone to commit. They are speaking falsehood, speaking ill of others, backbiting, and talking too much. To ensure that as far as possible, you never cross your limits in these tendencies is the best way.
So those are the tenets. A warm welcome to you, sir, to Vahini Satsang.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
When I read this line, among all forms of love, man's first endeavor should be to love the Lord the most. And even though We had some discussion on this in the previous episode. I just felt that this is such a beautiful tenet, and there is so much to share. There is so much to learn from Bhagwan's educational institutions. There is so much for all of us to contemplate on this, because this is the primordial thing. This is the very first endeavor. Swami says man's first endeavor should be to love the Lord the most. And I thought the more time we spend on this, the better it is, not just for us, but for posterity. And you are someone who is busy creating posterity. You are seeing these little hearts who step into Bhagwan's school, and you have had the opportunity to be a part of the process where this love gets instilled in these chosen souls that Bhagwan has picked to give them the label as Sai students. So I'll be grateful if you can share your perspectives and your experience of how this love gets instilled in young minds. And you have been a witness as well as a person who has participated in this process. So anything that you can share about this instilling of love that happens in our hostel in the Hyatt Secondary School.
Thank you so much. As it is said, God's love is like an ocean. You can see only its beginning. You cannot see its end. This is endless flow of love from him, and it touches everyone's heart, and that divine touch transforms us, transforms our lives. I can feel his divine love permeating all across in all the places that he has created for us. He touches us with his divine love. I still remember in one occasion I had a close proximity with Swami. At that moment of my life, I can say God was with me and nobody else. It was inside interview room. Swami was there and I was there alone. And Swami asked me, "What do you want?" I looked at Swami and told Swami, "I want love and devotion at your feet." Swami smiled, blessed me and joked, "Do you think love can be purchased in some market outside?" And Swami meant that it is he alone can give, and nowhere else such divine love can be obtained. This was my prayer for all the time that I stayed with him for several decades. Every time I would write a letter to Swami, "Swami, please give me love for you. Please give me devotion." Several times I prayed, and it was the last physical conversation with the Divine Lord. That was the occasion. Again, he made me ask the same boon. I asked him, "Swami, please bless me that I will be able to serve you all the time with love and devotion." at that time, Swami smiled and blessed me. Definitely, definitely, definitely.
Wow.
I can feel His love. I can feel His love in the lives of all the children that pray to Him, look forward to His guidance. I'll just tell you a small example how Bhagavan responds to each and every child when the child looks to Him, prays to Him. This happened recently. A small child, one day, he purchased an ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And he was eating it. That was the time a bell rang indicating to the students that they all should leave for darshan. Immediately, he felt that God's darshan is more important than an ice cream for a small child. He loves Him. He put that ice cream in his tumbler and kept it in his place and left for darshan. After bhajans, he came back to hostel. He noticed that ice cream had completely melted, obviously. So, a small child that he was not sure whether he could eat that or not. So he tasted a little bit and he doesn't know whether it is spoiled or good. So he went out, he discarded that. Though he was feeling a little bit guilty that I'm wasting food. So with this feeling, he told sorry to Swami in his heart. He came near Swami's picture. He prayed to Swami. Near Swami's picture, there was a box with 108 chits, 108 papers. In each of them, inscribed was a message. So he prayed to Swami and picked up a slip, a small chit, and it was written, "Don't waste food." And he loved Swami, and that's why he went to Swami to tell that sorry. And Swami immediately responded. He was a little bit sorry that Swami was not happy with him, maybe. He went to the room, and his classmates, his room children, room brothers, asked him, "Did you waste that ice cream?"
Mm-hmm.
The child was a little apprehensive. If he had told that he had wasted, the students would have told, the brothers would have told him, "Hey, you wasted food." So very cleverly he had put it, "No, I didn't waste, I ate."
Mm-hmm.
He had eaten a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat, satyam apriyam. So, very intelligently he told, "I ate ice cream."
Mm-hmm.
Again he felt guilty that he would have done something that Swami may not love. Again we went back to altar, prayed to Swami. "Swami, I told a lie, sorry." And he felt like taking another slip. He prayed to Swami and picked up a slip. And there a message from Swami, "Don't tell lies."
Oh my God.
And he immediately felt that every moment Swami is with me and He's watching me. And He's guiding me what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do. This is how God responds to every child, whoever loves Him. And then He offered to Swami, "Swami, no, Swami, I will not waste food and I will not tell lies. Please bless me." And he prayed to Swami again and took a slip, another chit with Swami's message. And this time Swami's message was, "Expect a dream."
Oh.
And you can always feel the first two slips are mere accidents and a coincidence. But this time, he was very happy. At the same time, a little doubt arose in his mind. Will it happen? And that night, Bhagavan came to his dream.
Oh, wow.
And he was in darshan lines. Bhagavan was coming that side. He slowly crawled towards Swami and touched his feet. He was very happy. He got blessings of Swami. And the next morning, he remembered everything clearly. So in the morning time, he had an occasion to speak to his father by phone. He spoke to his father and narrated this dream. He didn't tell him the other three episodes of Swami and taking the slips and Swami's messages. He just told, I got a dream like this. Swami had blessed me. And his father has revealed, the same thing had happened when you were a small child. When we went for darshan, when Bhagavan came, you slowly crawled and went and touched his feet.
Oh, wow.
And now, you don't even know at that age, but Swami again repeated that dream and blessed you. How blessed are you? The father was happy. The child came to me and he was excited and was very happy. And he shared this experience of his love and Swami's response to his love. This is how I've always have seen at the hostel the children loving Swami and Swami immediately responding and answering their prayers.
Really very, very touching episode. So these chits are instructions of Swami which are written and kept in a bowl.
Yes.
And people pick up randomly.
Yes. They have got different teachings of Swami.
Mm.
And different...
The Swami decides what to give, when.
Yes. Yes.
And to whom. Wow.
So very nice.
Beautiful. I think every student will have a story and loads of stories.
Yes.
Perhaps only a few will be coming and sharing that with you.
Yes.
And probably sharing some of the most beautiful ones with you.
Yes, please.
But otherwise, I think the same process that used to happen when Bhagavan was there physically is happening now also. And the beauty is the same, the grace is the same, and the impact is the same, isn't
it? Yes.
Wow. And this is happening to little ones, you know, students in their 8th standard, in their students who are in the 9th standard, where this whole concept of love for God has just come into their lives. Now they have become thinking beings. You come out of the primary school. Now you want to do your own experiments. Now you want to understand a little more. Till now you have heard those concepts. Now you want to do your experiments.
Yes.
Isn't it? They are at that phase in their life. Yeah, if you can share... I don't know, probably you'll have so many more, but if you can share a few more.
I'm very happy to recollect those instances of love that Swami has showered on them. Recently, a small child came to me and he was not that happy. He was sharing to me, Sir, I'm feeling homesick and I want to see my mother, I want to see my father. Maybe I would like to stay with them. I just counseled him and told him, speak to your parents and seek their guidance. They would definitely advise you the best possible way. Anyway, why don't you pray to Swami to guide you and show you the correct decision and correct path? He asked me, what should I pray to Swami? You just tell Swami two sentences. Swami, I love you. Swami, I live for you. Just tell these two sentences. You don't need to give a big, large prayer. So in front of me, the child had gone to Swami's chair, Simhasan. he went there, he knelt down in front of Swami's chair, he put his head on Swami's feet and told Swami, I love you, I will live for you. This is a small child of 8th standard. I told him, every day when you go to Mandir or when you come over to this office, once pray to Swami, only these two sentences. It just happened, after 3 days he came to me again and he told me, Sir, I'm very happy here. I don't have any problems. I'm feeling that I'm becoming better and better. After telling just those two sentences to Swami, I have changed my thoughts. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be here only. This is what I have seen. A little child just telling two sentences to Swami, innocently, Swami, I love you. And his divine love is touched and changed his heart and gave him strength and gave him a happy feeling that he is quite satisfied now. This is how Swami has been touching the hearts of the young ones and sowing seeds of love so that tomorrow when they grow big, they might go to the society and do a wonderful job there, taking care of each one like Swami's representatives.
Wow. In fact, I'm reminded of how when Bhagwan was physically there also, there'd be so many students.
Yes.
Initial years, you know, initial months, people who have come from different cultures and different backgrounds, and the food will be different, the lifestyle in the hostel will be different, and some would have come from very affluent backgrounds, and here you'll have to sleep on the floor and live a very simple life. Some would have come from backgrounds where the standard of their education was not as good, and here you have to cope up with a better quality of education. So there'll be so many circumstances, and many probably would be homesick, first time living in a hostel, but just few days of staying here, few darshans of Bhagwan, and few moments of participating in the hostel activities, and everything just melts away. And you know, suddenly you will find a student not going home for vacations.
Yes.
So that used to happen. I mean, I'm reminded of my student days, but it's happening even now. So
even beautiful. Now. Since you reminded me of those golden days of living with our Lord and not going for vacation, let me narrate one such memory of mine. It so happened, it was the time when Swami was with the children, giving so much of love, moving among the children, showering his grace and love. In those good days, one night, some of the children were discussing among themselves in their room. They were discussing, we hear that Swami appeared in that particular country. We hear that Swami creates vibhuti and showers from his photograph in some other place. Why is that? No such things happen in our hostel.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we too see such divine manifestations? Then, among them, one more student told, see, we are fortunate enough to have his darshan directly. So why should he manifest again? We are fortunate that he directly creates vibhuti and places in our hands. Then why should he give through the photograph? This is how their discussion was going on, and they were giving their questions and somebody else was giving their answers.
So this was the time when Bhagwan was physically there.
Yes.
Yes.
And then it so happened that in those days, all the children used to sleep on the floor, and during this sleeping time, they all would go to a huge hall, a prayer hall, come dining hall at the hostel, where fans were there. In the living rooms at that time, we never had any ceiling fans. So invariably, all the children would go to dining hall and sleep. But this particular student who expressed his doubt that why doesn't Swami appear here? He was tired. So he didn't even open his bed. It was rolled bed. He was just lying and leaning on it and slept off. In the midnight, because of his awkward position of sleeping, he just got up in the middle of the night and he just stared that nobody was there around him and looked at the door. There Bhagavan was standing in physical form.
Oh my God.
It's not a dream. Swami was standing. Swami was looking at him and signed to him, sleep, sleep.
Oh, wow.
With his command, immediately he slipped off. The next morning, he came running to me and he told me, "Sir, this was what we were discussing last night. And in the middle of the night, I saw Swami. I asked him, is it your imagination or is it a dream?" "No, sir. Not a dream, not imagination. I was wide awake and I saw Swami looking at me and he signed to me to sleep. And I don't know, I slept off immediately." So this must be his answer to my doubt. That's how he was expressing his observations. I had a doubt, is it real or maybe it is his imagination? So I told him, "See, this is how Swami loves us. So let us reciprocate to Swami by living in the manner he likes us to live. Let us follow him. Now that he had blessed you with a divine darshan, follow his teachings and make him happy. And by the way, don't share this to anyone because many people may not believe it." That's what I told him. And the student obediently followed my advice. He didn't tell anyone. And now, it was the time for winter vacation. All the children had gone home. And in those days, since Swami was here at Parthi, some students never used to go home. They used to tell that vacation time also we would stay with Swami only. So this student also stayed back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also there, holidays time. On one such day during the vacation, Bhagavan has called the students into the bhajan hall. Those students who were there at that moment in the mandir, Swami called them inside. And he had got all the doors and windows of the bhajan hall closed. So few students were there in the bhajan hall in front of Swami. And few of us teachers were standing behind. And here is the place where Swami proved to me that he had really appeared to that child.
Mm-hmm.
It so happened that Swami was very friendly and freely moving with the children that on that day. And Swami was talking to a Telugu student in Tamil.
Mm-hmm.
And a Tamil student in Kannada.
Mm-hmm.
And a Kannada student in Malayalam. And when the students couldn't follow what Swami was telling, and when they failed to do what Swami commanded, Swami was making fun and having a lot of happiness. And that was the day Swami was telling all the children where to keep each of these statues and Swami's pictures in the bhajan hall. And that's how he was fixing. Oh, keep this statue here. Keep this picture here. And that's why he was doing. And this particular boy was asked by Swami to climb up on the platform stage in the altar place of Bhajan Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami was guiding him in some other language to keep a particular idol of Ganesha in a particular direction. And poor boy could not understand what Swami meant. And he did exactly opposite of what Swami told.
Oh my God.
And Swami was making fun of him and laughing. And suddenly, all this Swami was doing very silently and very softly and gently in such a way that only that boy could enjoy the pranks of the divinity. At that time, he told a statement, Swami made a statement in Telugu, loudly and clearly in such a way that I was able to hear at the end of the bhajan hall. Till then Swami was talking softly and Swami told, ఏమి అవుతుందిరా బెడ్ ఓపెన్ చేయకుండా ఆ బెడ్పై పడుకొని రూమ్లో ఉంటే ఇట్లానే అవుతుంది. విచ్ మీన్స్ వాట్ ఎల్స్ విల్ హ్యాపన్ ఇఫ్ యు కీప్ రోలింగ్ యువర్ బెడ్ అండ్ స్లీపింగ్ ఇన్ ద రూమ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఆన్ ద బెడ్. దాట్ వాజ్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ హ్యాపన్ వెన్ హీ వాజ్ లయింగ్ డౌన్ ఆన్ హిస్ బెడ్ భగవాన్ లుక్డ్ అట్ హిమ్ అండ్ స్వామి రిమైండెడ్ హిమ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ డే. And also, he told only that sentence so loudly that I could also know that it was his love and his blessings that he gave him darshan for that child. And the next moment after Swami's darshan, that child came running to me. And sir, you know one thing? Swami had confirmed to me that he had appeared that night to me. He had mentioned exactly how I slept on that day in my room. This is how Swami responds to the children who love him, and he fills their heart with such divine experiences that maybe when they grow big, they will be able to hold on to his teachings and follow his divine commands.
I think this, I always feel that the years that we spent in the school are really the years which set your life.
Yes.
Because when I look back also, it was those years of being in the higher secondary school wherein I did my experiments also with Bhagwan, of loving him, of praying to him, and that connect with Swami that got established then was something that I always fell back upon whenever I needed him, whenever I felt that I'm not experiencing his love, or whenever I felt that my life needs more direction. It was those years of school, the what school and that environment had done to me, which came to my rescue. And I think this is what is happening even now, so beautifully. And so sweetly Swami is doing it. It's really so amazing. And in fact, all these stories are so sweet that there is no other word for them than Sai Bhagavatam, because Swami says, you know, Bhagavatam is that will make you a better person.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Bhagavatam Chadivite Bhagavatam, Swami says,
yes,
isn't it?
Swami said.
And I think these are the stories that make us become good, make us become glorious, become godly. If you can, yeah, continue, sir. I know there are so many more tales, and I don't really want to lose this opportunity of you being there in the studios and listening to these tales of transformation through love.
Let me explain, let me share with you one more such incident that I have got personally, how with little love in our hearts, innocently we ask him for something, and he so graciously, so lovingly answers our prayers across the time periods. I asked I forget. But the Divine Lord, the Sweet Lord, never forgets. When I was a student, I used to see Swami so lovingly calling some of the people by their name. I was always having a desire. Will a day come where He would call me by name?
Mm-hmm.
Will the avatar of the age know my name physically? God knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
But does He know my name physically? If Swami knows my name physically, it would be a great opportunity. I was praying to Him in this way, Swami, You should know my name. On few occasions when He interacted with me, He used to call me then small boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a desire that He should know the name of me, myself. So one day, when I was sitting in the first line and offering a letter to Him, the Lord looked at me and told me, Satish. I was so happy. Bhagwan asked my name.
Wow.
He told my name. I even forgot that I had asked Him. But He remembered so lovingly. And whenever the correct, appropriate time came, He revealed to me that He knew my name, even physically. This was my prayer, which I even forgot. And He didn't forget. He answered me. And the story doesn't end here. After 10 years of time, another occasion came where the Lord has visited the hostel. That was a great celebration for all the students when Swami visited the hostel. At that time, there was an occasion where I was close to Him physically. He came near me and asked me, What is your name?
Mm-hmm.
After 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I even forgot of this past episode. I told Swami, Satish. Swami asked me, Huh? I told Swami, Satish. I was thinking that there were bhajans going on. So Swami could not hear me. So Swami asked me again. So I repeated, Swami, Satish.
Now you are a teacher.
I was teacher by then. And it happened several occasions. Swami kept on asking me, What? He was asking me. Again and again I was telling me, Swami, Satish. Swami, Satish. After answering several times, it dawned to me that it's not that Swami is not able to hear. He must be meaning something else.
Something else He wants to hear.
Some message He is giving me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had told Swami, Swami knows everything. Swami smiled and left that topic there. This time, Swami responded to me by hearing my name several times. The story doesn't even end now. After another decade, He gave another opportunity of physical proximity. I interacted with Him. I prayed to Him for something. After that, I was going back to my place to sit. At that juncture, Swami called me back and told me, Em peru ra ni peru Satyanarayana? Swami asked me.
Mm-hmm. What is your name? Is it Satyanarayana?
It means, what your name is? Satyanarayana?
Mm-hmm.
Swami asked me. I immediately rushed back to Him and told Swami, No Swami, my name is Satish. Satish? Swami looked at me in such a way that, how can your name be Satish? It's not Satish, something else. Like that.
Hmm.
I prayed to him and then went back to my place and sat. The compassionate Lord knows our limitations. The loving Lord looked at me. In that divine look, he made me recollect something that happened 50 years ago from now.
Mm-hmm.
It was a time when my parents gave me name, and they gave me my name as Satyanarayana.
Oh, that was your original name?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And by the time I was 2 or 3 months old, it was changed as Satish Babu.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime back, my parents had told me this, and I even forgot that.
Wow.
And see this, his love. I asked him, if Swami knows my name, it'll be a great opportunity. He gave me an experience over a period of 2 or 3 decades, and all the time he was proving to me that you also forgot your own name, but I don't forget. And he reminded me that way. That is his love.
I know what your name is now. I know what was your name originally. Yes. I know you much before you were born.
Yes.
Yes.
So loving he is. That is how Swami touches us with his love. And he makes us what we are.
Wow. A little prayer. And I think that is so beautiful about Bhagwan. As you look back and more you contemplate, the more you connect the dots.
Yes.
And the more you make meaning of every moment that he has spent with you. Yes. At that moment when Bhagwan was there physically and you had those few moments of interaction or a few moments of physical proximity, and probably because of the maya that surrounds him, or probably because of our mind not being so open or our heart being not so matured enough, that we probably never grasped the entirety of what Bhagwan gave us. Not that now we've got it comprehensively, but perhaps you are able to understand a little more from what you understood then. But I think that is the beauty. As you spend years of being in love with him, the more you understand how beautiful it is and the meaning of every moment that he has spent with you. If he has spent physically with you, then, you know, you have those scenes fresh in your mind. Even if he has not spent physically with you, when you look at your life, you can see his footprints at so many beautiful phases of your life which you missed. Isn't it?
Yes.
I think that is a lovely exercise that all of us can do. And I think Swami is saying, such love towards the divine is bhakti, and that is the duty of one's life. And I think once you spend time thinking about this, then you will feel there is no other duty more important in me, for me in my life, than just loving him. Isn't it?
Very much, very much.
How did it feel when you were given this opportunity to become the warden of the hostel?
I feel when he gives an opportunity, he does the work. He takes care of everything, and only the credit remains with you that you have done a duty. All through the time, it is he who does the work. He takes care of all the children. Every moment, he brings to our notice where we have to be more careful and where we have to be more cautious. And every moment, he looks after them. In day-to-day life, once he came to my dream in the recent past, I would have done many more things in the hostel and improved so many things, but I'm worried about the little body of yours, Satish. You will be exhausted, you'll be tired, So I am doing little slowly.
Swami said that?
Yes. It indicated to me that as a warden or as an official in his institutions, we may feel that we are working so much and we are doing so much, but these little acts of his love remind us that you are not doing anything. Everything is done by me. And that's how it has been my experience all through this period, that I just look at him and ask him. We have got a wonderful picture of him in the office. Any moment I would go to that picture and ask Swami, Swami, this is a problem. What should I do? This is a requirement. What should I do? The next moment, instantly, he answers. He showers his grace and he tells me that you don't need to panic for anything. All the works are done by me. Already done by me. You are merely an instrument. That's what I feel. It's an opportunity given by Swami just to express our gratitude to him. Swami, you gave me so much love and now you gave me an opportunity to work a little bit for you. That's what I feel. It is he who does everything and he has been doing and he's so loving and he's touching every child who has not even seen Swami physically. And when I see the love for God, I'll be so touched, so thrilled, their love for Swami and their feeling for Swami.
I think that is really so beautiful. As you share what you are going through and how your life itself has become a saga of my experiments with pure love. I think that is how the life of every student and every faculty member, be it in Swami's colleges and schools and hostels or anybody working in the Satsang organization, is ultimately our life becomes a series of experiments with pure love.
Yes.
And we share these experiments. We share these thrills and chills of knowing Swami, loving Swami, and that is how we enrich our lives. And that, Swami says, should become one's duty.
Yes.
So duty is God, Swami says. And I think, so your job as a person being in the hostel is not just, your duty is not to be the warden, your duty is to love the divine.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that is the duty of everyone. The duty of the vice chancellor is to love the divine. The duty of the principal is to love the divine.
Yes.
The duty of a member working in EDUSA is to love the divine. And I think that is
correct.
What is the duty correct. Of all of us.
Exactly.
Ultimately. And that is, I think if we can live with that kind of a feeling, I think, then our lives would really be in that bliss of the Atma that Bhagavan always talks about. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios. I really do not want to end this conversation because some of the stories that you shared were so touching. And I just hope and pray to Swami that we'll have more opportunities to listen to this sweet Bhagavatam that started so many years ago and it continues with the same sweetness, with the same nectarous flow of his compassion. Thank you so much, and I pray to Swami that we have more opportunities to listen from you, sir.
Thank Swami for this opportunity, Sai Ram.
So dear listeners, it's time to draw the curtains and we will continue this satsang on Sandhya Nivarani in the coming episodes of Vahini Satsang. Bhagavan has written so many tenets for us to follow on the spiritual path in this chapter 7. And as you can see, you take one single line and one single statement and you don't want to move from there. That is how every statement of Bhagwan is. And let's pray that these tenets become a part of our life, they get imprinted in our heart and they translate into becoming living messengers of His message and love. Please do share your experiments with Pure Love wherever you are, whatever you are engaged in. God's love is what will fill your life and make it complete. And as you experiment with this philosophy, do share with us your stories. And let us together hold each other's hand in this beautiful journey of I to we to he. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comment to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us. Sairam.